88 to 91.
Radio 2.
The Big Book of Pop. The World Encyclopedia of Rock and Roll. The entire internet. Throw them all out.
It don't contribute. It does nothing.
And replace them with the Blagger's Guide. Radio's cut out and keep guide to the entire history of popular music.
Blagger's Guide. What time do you have?
In soundbite size form.
Get on with it. I'm on a double yellow.
Hello. Spotlight on David Quantick. And welcome to the Blagger's Guide to Stacks.
Do you like good music? That sweet soul music. Just long and sweet. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Stacks Records was and is the most important soul label of all time. Where its nearest rival Motown was essentially a pop label, offering fizzy, saccharine melodies, sweet voices and pretty ladies. Stax offered blood, sweat, and Wilson Pickett.
Salina, baby. Oh, no.
Not to mention. And a thousand others. When Arthur Conley asked,
do you like good music?
Everyone around the world responded with a mighty yes. Everyone that is, apart from the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band.
Do men sing the wise, or are they heavy cards singing?
Mind you, had Arthur Conley sung Do You Like Performing 1920s Jazz, Dresses a Vampire, and Wearing Slinkies for Sunglasses, then the answer might have been different. As would have the record been. The Stax roster was just ridiculously great. Even, as this genuine tape proves, a wet Wednesday down at Stax was still pretty good.
Okay, Janine, it's a wet Wednesday at Stax Records. What do we got today?
Well, Mr. Stax Boss, at 10, Otis Redding's changing the face of music with Shake. Percy Sledge is ensuring the birth of karaoke by recording When a Man Loves a Woman. Aretha Franklin's coming by to mow gospel into pop. And you got lunch with Booker T and the MGs.
Gee, I sure hope things pick up soon.
Stax Records, aptly enough, would be 45 this year. Impress your friends by getting around in for once. And then tell them that Stax began in 1961 and...
Blagger's Fact.
...got its name from its two founders, siblings Jim Ewart and Estelle Axton. Axe. Its first hit was Gee Whiz by Carla Thomas, who later duetted on...
Shrimp. What you call me? Shrimp.
...with Otis Redding, which was sampled...
What you call me?
By Salt and Pepper. And that's just their first release. Oh, really, really impress your friends, by the way, by telling them...
The Johnny Jenkins Story!
Johnny Jenkins is one of the unsung heroes of popular music. Literally. Because in 1962, when singer Johnny Jenkins went into the Stax Studios to make a record, the session went so badly that they decided to record his driver instead. Fortunately, that driver was Otis Redding. Not, you know, Reg Varney from On the Buses. That would have been dreadful.
I'm sitting on the dock on a bay, having a pint of Welks and a little sing-song.
Anyway, Stax went from strength to strength. They had great singers, they had the best house band in the world, the MGs, who were related to the Marquees, but not the Barquets, who were a sort of trumpet-playing ranch, and they had great songwriters, including Isaac Hayes and David Porter. Hayes and Porter started out writing short, punchy classics.
Baby, oh baby.
And then Isaac Hayes went solo and specialised in long, long, long classics. So long, in fact, that... You can actually fit every single by Sam and Dave into Isaac Hayes' version of By the Time I Get to Phoenix. Like little jeeps inside a big transport plane.
I'm talking about the power of love now. I'm gonna tell you what love can do.
We'll come back to that later in the show. Sam and Dave, by the way, ended up not speaking to each other in the last years of their career, even though they performed together every night. Sam Moore always claimed it was because Dave was a very bad man. But some suspect this might be the cause.
I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man.
Sam Moore and Lou Reed there, because when you hear the words soul man, the first person you think of is Lou Reed. Dear God.
Hey, Lou, thanks for agreeing to do that on the new version of Soul Man.
You're right, it's a real pleasure. I love soul music.
Yeah, I can really hear it in the sarcastic dead voice.
No, Sam, you don't understand. I've taken so much heroin, I always sound like this.
Really?
Yeah, that's why all my songs are so monotonous. Even Waiting for the Man, that was a happy song. Yeah, I'm waiting for my man. I'm so excited. Walking the Wild Side. Yeah, baby. Perfect Day. Come on. How can a song called Perfect Day be miserable?
I guess we all thought it was a metaphor for heroin use.
Sam, not all my songs are about heroin. Wait. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they all. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Stax's success grew and grew. The Beatles wrote Day Tripper in response to Otis Redding's Shake. The Rolling Stones wrote Satisfaction in response to Otis Redding's Shake. And then something timeless happened. Just hours before he was killed in a plane crash, Otis Redding recorded one of the best singles in the history of pop. After that, the times were pretty much a different. Rock was getting louder, racial politics were getting heavier, and even Motown. Had grown an afro. Stax coped well with the rest of the 60s, but faded away in the new decade. These days, their stars are still legendary, their music remarkable, and their compilations essential. Stax is great. Huzzah!
But you see, girl, that don't mean to come down on
you. Oh, hang on. It's still going on.
But this man loves this woman so.
I can't get it to stop.
He could see the wall.
It won't stop.
His man's trouble.
And now a classic DVD compilation, Rock's Greatest Double Act. Sid Vicious and Sid Barrett in the very best of the two Sids.
Hello.
Relive classic comedy moments.
And in a pact. Wow, my hand is full of stars.
F***ing King Hippie!
And in other news, an effervescing elephant that had been crossed with a bike escaped. Police say they're worried it might do a ton on the motorway.
They're all here.
I'd like four candles, please.
I'll stick a full candle in your eye, you bloody hippie!
Yes, plugs for the bathroom. Wow.
Remember this?
Hello, I'm the Phantom Raspberry Blower of Old London Town.
Well, f*** off then!
The very best of the two Sids, out now.
So it's good night from him.
And some pineapple jelly. Wow.
Hello, I'm David Quantick. I was beat. Incomplete. Like a little child. So welcome to the Blaggers Guy.
I made it through.
To Madonna. Yes, the Queen of Pop herself. 23 years at the top, from this to this. Madonna. When she started, her rivals were Michael Jackson, Bruce Springsteen, and Prince. Now, Prince sells gloves in his auntie's shop, Bruce Springsteen's a sort of muscly busker, and Michael Jackson's a child Madonna. Full name Madonna Louise Ciccone Ritchie, which sort of makes her sound like all of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, began life in Detroit. Detroit Rock City, home of Alice Cooper, Iggy Pop, the MC5, and the White Stripes. She was never going to be crap, was she? Actually, she was crap at first. She sang in a band called
Blaggers Fact,
The Breakfast Club. She took her kit off for money, a theme to which she would later return, and she sang backing vocals on bad disco songs. Madonna's early years were not dissimilar to those of, say, James Blunt, but she was determined to make it and finally emerged on the New York dance scene with catchy, attitudinal pop. And then she made the record that defined her early years. Like a Virgin, written by
Lager's Fact,
Billy Steinberg and Tom Kelly, who also wrote The Old Pervs. Like a Virgin gave Madonna her first clearly defined image. Even though, of course, Madonna is like a virgin in the same way that Liam Gallagher is like a geography teacher, i.e., not at all. I'm like a virgin, touched for the very first time. Like a Virgin was sexual, glamorous, confident, and featured a video where either Madonna has taken a lion on holiday to Venice, or she wants to get married in a canal. It's not clear. After that, Madonna ruled the world. She made Desperately Seeking Susan, the only film where,
Lager's Fact,
she isn't completely rubbish, and she married Sean Penn, whose fierce temper and hatred of the press were, well, a bit silly, really. Oh, I'm famous. Why are all these people following me around? Oh, look at me. No, don't look at me. Oh, come back. Anyway, we just bought this bootleg DVD of Madonna's first wedding off of eBay.
Do you, Madonna, wish to come? Take this man, Sean Parker Penn, to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do. Hey, is that a photographer?
I don't see anyone.
There, dressed as a woman in a blue dress and made of plaster.
That's an image of the Blessed Mary.
Oh. Look, a huge long camera lens made of stone with water on the end.
That's the font.
Oh. Well, what about that guy with the cameras and the lights and the badge saying photographer?
That's your official wedding photographer.
Photographer? Sean!
Ah, life. Madonna made a film with Sean Penn called Shanghai Surprise, now available with a sun-faded cover in the 99p video bin at your local newsagent. Why do newsagents get all these rubbish videos in the first place? Madonna moved on. She split up from Sean Penn and went back to pop music. Like a Prayer, whose controversial video, in which Madonna has a snog-up with a black saint, caused Pepsi to drop Madonna as a spokesperson for their sugar water. The phrase, what were they thinking, does rather come to mind.
Okay, let's start the meeting. My name is Mr. Pepsi, I invented Pepsi, and I'd like to welcome to the boardroom our new spokesperson, Madonna.
Hello, everyone. Excuse me while I take off all my clothes. Other than this lacy bustier and black vinyl skirt.
It's great to have you representing our brown cola drink, Madonna. We feel Pepsi and Madonna go together
like a fat, naked man tied to a wall and his dominatrix beating his buttocks with her high-heeled boots.
Yeah. You know, maybe you're not right for this campaign. Hey, how about that nice Michael Jackson?
Him? He's a child...
Madonna, in fact, got more and more controversial. She did a tin book called Sex, in which she sat on a fence in the Nud with Vanilla Ice. She did a bondage video with Lenny Kravitz called Justify My Love. And most scary of all, she made a film of an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Which wasn't utterly rubbish, because Madonna only did singing and not talking. And
Lager's Fact auf der Ostern Ende.
Andrea from the Corrs was in it as a mistress. The 90s were not Madonna's best decade. She did another flaming movie, Dick Tracy. I don't want you to thank me. You can just thank, thank me. Had it off with a film star, Warren Beatty, and was a bit naff for quite a long time. And then she went spiritual. And she married a film director, lovable toffney Guy Ritchie, in a castle, and everyone was there.
Do you, Madonna Louise Chacon, take this man, Guy Lionel Ritchie, to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do. Hey, is that someone taking a photograph? Guy?
Madonna's revival was complete. She forgot she was an Indian mystic and decided to be a Jewish mystic. She made a French disco album. And she did something nobody had ever thought possible. She made people long to hear the original version of American Pie. Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. Don't you shave it to the levee, levee, and she made another movie with Guy Ritchie. Those poor newsagents. But she remains the Queen of Pop, one of the most extraordinary recording artists in the world. Go Madonna! Hello, I'm David Quantick, and I'm standing in the middle of Socky Hall Street on a warm Saturday afternoon, about to eat some haggis washed down with iron brew, and then pop off for a wee dram in the Sarsen Heed. Because, welcome to the Blagger's Guide to Wales. All right, Scotland. Because Scotland is the most important country in rock. From the last one. Rod Stewart's a Londoner, for goodness sake. I'm more Scottish than he is, except my parents aren't from Scotland. And I didn't do Ole Ola. But that's a good thing. Scottish rock was invented by Lord Rockingham, not his real name, and his 11.
Which one there's a moose?
But Scottish rock soon got sillier. There was the late, great Alex Harvey.
N-E-X.
Whose sensational Alex Harvey Band were one of the first to incorporate theatricality.
Naked, a sin, an army towel covering my belly.
Jacques Brel songs. And rock and roll into their repertoire.
The Queen Lieutenant slapped that ass in shaking with a fag.
They were a cross between David Bowie and a massacre. And they were great. There was other Scottish music, of course. Lulu, she's Scottish, came 28th in a list of famous Scots acts. Mind you, Belle and Sebastian were number one, so perhaps that list was upside down. Then there's the town of Dunfermline. I thought we'd do our first ever...
Blaggers quiz.
Question one. Name three singers who come from...
Richard Jobson from the Skids, Stuart Adamson from the Skids and Big Country, and David Byrne from Talking Heads.
I don't think we'll be doing the quiz again. Other Scots bands included hard rockers Nazareth.
Love hurts. Love shines.
Who must have really hated the Everly Brothers, as did the Everly Brothers. Until 1977, Scottish music was a bluesy, boozy sort of thing, owing a lot to America and very little to the imagination. By and large, all Scots records sounded like this.
Darling, I'm feeling pretty lonesome.
And then... Scotland heard punk. And did it wrong. deliberately, to get into trouble.
Yeah!
Sound of Young Scotland. Here now from the 1979 documentary, Yeah Right, Caledonia Make Your Brown Eyes Blue, is the truth about the new Scots sound.
Hello, I'm Muriel Gray, the humourless one from the Tube, and I'm here with some new young Scottish musicians. Edwin Collins from Orange Juice. What bands do you like?
Loads, but mostly the Velvet Underground.
Ha 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 ha! I expect. I've no sense of humour. Here's Paul Haig from Joseph K. Paul, on a different tack, what bands do you like?
I like the Velvet Underground.
Ha ha! Oh, and one more chap. It's Davy Henderson from the Fire Engines. Davy.
Yeah, Velvet Underground.
Okay. Boys, what's your favourite colour?
Venus in Firth.
We'll be covering the Velvet Underground in another edition if I can stay awake long enough, but their influence indicates one very special aspect of 1980s Scots rock. Looking good. Or at least wearing Ray-Bans and leather jackets and mumbling. And impress, I don't know, someone, a tramp maybe, with this. The scotliest of all the 1980s new wavy Glaswegian-y velvety undergroundy bands were, of course, Loid Cole and the Commotions. Named, amazingly, after Elvis Costello's attraction, the Commotions had one major hit.
When she smiles my way, my eyes go out in vain. She's got perfect skin.
And singer Loid Cole was...
Liger's Fact.
From Derbyshire. Scott's New Wave was and is incredibly important, because not only did it have a huge thing about the Velvet Underground,
linger on, your pale blue eyes.
But also it introduced a very anti-rock idea into the very heart of rock. Impress your fayest friends by telling them that Scotland invented the whole concept of...
Lagos Fact!
Twee. Or indie as it's known, because the floppy fringed likes of Roddy Frame out of Aztec Camera, and Edwin Collins out of Orange Juice,
I wore my fringe like Roger McGuinn, I wore a little pink,
are directly responsible for a new strain of anti-macho in modern music.
Kissing girls in English at the back of the stand.
Which is, of course, a good thing, if you're nine. Ironically, Scotland's real financial musical success is with big music.
Promise you a miracle. Belief is a beauty thing.
Big sound, big hair, big guitars, and a big empty hole in the middle. No, the best Scottish music, in my opinion, which is what counts, is the strange intimacy of the Blue Nile.
Hi, I'm Muriel Gray here. I don't get jokes. I'm in a room with Paul Buchanan from the Blue Nile. Hi, guys. So, why do you leave such long gaps between albums?
Don't know, really.
Scotland was also the home of probably the most important indie label of the 90s. Influenced by the indie jangle of Postcard,
oh,
and the indie twee, see, are the television personalities.
Here I come. La 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 la.
Creation Records may have been London-based, but its ethos and its core bands were very Scots. Until, that is, Alan McGee got better and signed Oasis, who are about as indie twee jangle as a tank made of lions' private parts. These days, oddly, both Oasis and Primal Scream are a retirement home for old Creation Records acts, while the future of Scots music is firmly in the hands of Franz. The Ferdinands are ruling the hearts and minds of everyone who hasn't dumped them for the Arctic Monkeys. With their unique fusion of orange juice and Joseph K., Franz Ferdinand are without doubt the Scottish Velvet Underground.
So they say a troubled boy, just because you like to destroy all.
Jings, hooray for Scotland. Farewell, see you next week. You take the high road, I'll take the long road. Away and
The Blagger's Guide is written by David Quantick and Simon Foley.
The script editor was Steve Punt.
Presented by David Quantick.
The voices which were formed out of the mouths of and performed by were
Peter Sullivan and Lewis McLeod.
Audio production was by Chris O'Shaughnessy.
The Blagger's Guide was a unique production for BBC Radio 2, yes?
We're all down to...